Deep within the eastern fringe of the galaxy, there exists a relatively young but incredibly dynamic and advanced alien civilization known as the Tau Empire. This fledgling consortium of worlds may seem to be but a group of star-faring upstarts, but over the course of but a few short millennia, they have proven themselves to be an incredibly persistent and ambitious group who stand as perhaps the dominant power over their distant stars. The rapid ascension of the Tau has been nothing short of meteoric. Over but a few short millennia, they have carved out a home for themselves within the unforgiving cosmos and have constantly shown a near unmatched level of ambition towards achieving their goals. A key aspect of their triumphant rise has been the masterful use of incredibly advanced and experimental technologies, all of which were produced from the ingenious scientists and engineers of the Earth caste. These visionaries have painstakingly crafted a huge array of weapons and tools for the Tau military, and these have been observed as being perhaps more effective than many imperial counterparts. Throughout their empire, their society has reached a rather stable and equitable standard of living. This is primarily thanks to the utter devotion and reverence towards their philosophical principles of the greater good. Whilst we could spend hours exploring their well-organized civil engineering projects or of their rapid and personalized medical programs, it shall not be the focus of today's sermon. Instead, we shall be delving into the teachings and strategies of the Fire Caste to learn of the Tau attitudes and principles of warfare. I will discuss the overarching military plans and actions taken during large-scale engagements before moving on to their methods for organizing their forces. And finally, I shall cover their two residing schools of military tactics, the doctrines of the killing blow and of the patient hunter. The first point to bring up is that within a Tau society, there is an incredibly stringent class-based system, which has dictated that the responsibilities of carrying out ground-based warfare should fall only on the members of the Fire Caste. These are Tau who have quite literally been bred for battle. They stand as the strongest and sharpest of all Tau, who have been trained since their early childhood to mold them into becoming true professional soldiers. These warriors are highly disciplined and incredibly dedicated towards fighting for the greater good, and they have truly grown into becoming an effective and adaptive force against the enemies of the Tau Empire. The young cadets will often go through their training schools within small groups, who will eventually be appointed to the same squad, helping to solidify their bonds of camaraderie early on in their lives, all in the efforts of making their fire teams even more effective. This is starkly contrasted with some Imperial Guard regiments, where guardsmen and women will be appointed to whichever group requires reinforcements, even if it is to be on a distant world far from their original home. The primary objective of the Fire Caste is clear. It is to devastate and eliminate any threats which may endanger the Tau worlds. To carry out this task, they will leverage their highly advanced armaments to annihilate their opponents from a great distance. The Tau have always looked down upon close quarters melee combat, seeing it as unnecessarily brutal and barbaric, and so the vast majority of their military technology has been specifically designed for effective long-range engagements. With these highly capable warriors, we shall now explore some of the tactics observed within a Tau battle force. The primary doctrines of the Tau all rely upon the ability to be adaptive to any changing situation, and to be mobile enough to reposition their forces in reaction to the chaos of battle. T teams of fire warriors will be rapidly deployed from skimming devilfish transporters, where they will spread out into a multi-layered formation, which can just as easily launch an assault as it can dig in for a defensive operation. This elastic force will be supported by huge batteries of broadside battle suits, hammerhead gunships, and even mighty KV-128 storm surge suits, which provide an unbreakable supportive backbone to the more mobile elements of their cadre. At the heart of these dynamic forces, we will almost always find a team of fire warriors, each of whom will carry with him a potent pulse rifle. This ingenious weapon will ionize a small metal slug into an orb of plasma, which will be accelerated through its lengthy barrel before being fired at a remarkably high velocity. Despite only possessing a rather low rate of fire, the pulse rifle excels due to its truly exceptional operational range. A fire warrior team can be positioned far from the front lines, but thanks to these weapons, they can still remain as a highly effective fighting force who can always find their enemies from across the battlefield. Now, a common myth is that a Tau battle line is simply a strict wall of guns, but this is far from the case. Smaller squads of pathfinders or auxiliary forces will be strategically deployed closer to the front lines, where they will effectively harass and draw out enemy forces, allowing them to be better targeted by the primary fire warrior teams. These vanguard forces may be in a more dangerous position, but they are still professional members of the fire caste, who are more than prepared for their forward role, and they will gladly put down their lives if it spells a victory for the greater good. Another hallmark of the Tau military strategy would be the widespread and extensive use of hovering drone swarms, which are each controlled by a rudimentary artificial intelligence. The drones can be equipped with a vast range of tools and computational components, all of which play a vital role in supporting the rest of the Tau military forces. Some drones may be constructed with highly advanced sensor arrays, which can be used to identify and mark enemy forces which will be more easily targeted by heavy Tau weapon batteries. Other drones may be armed with small offensive weapons themselves, and thanks to their highly nimble and mobile jet thrusters, they can swoop down behind an enemy defensive line to disrupt and force out the defenders, driving them out into the oncoming fire of the main Tau army. As a profoundly adaptive force, once an enemy position has been cleared, the Tau will swiftly reposition their own troops. Fire warrior teams and crisis suits will advance to claim the new territory, where they will quickly set up a new offensive line to work their way through the battlefield. Only when it seems safe to do so, the heavier battle suits and tanks will be redeployed in an elastic fashion in order to cover the moving forces with their heavy long-ranged rail guns. Central to the Tau's military might would be the use of their iconic and highly advanced battle suits. These sophisticated constructs are piloted by a veteran fire warrior who has proven themselves to possess the combat prowess and tactical acumen to earn the privilege of operating these mighty suits, allowing them to bring the heavier weapons of the Tau to bear against their enemies. There are dozens of experimental battlesuit variants. However, I shall focus for now on the XV-8 crisis suit, since it exemplifies their war doctrines in perhaps the purest way. It reigns supreme as a true marvel of Tau military technology, and in some ways it can be seen as a resolute symbol towards the flexibility of the Tau war machine. The capabilities of the crisis suit are as diverse as they are potent. To the ignorant, they may see the crisis suit as seeming rather bulky and cumbersome, but they couldn't be further from the truth, as despite its appearance, it is surprisingly agile and nimble when piloted by a fire caste veteran. It possesses thick, layered armor which can shrug off most small arms fire, and many suits will be augmented with an advanced shield generator which can protect its wearer from even heavy rocket blasts. The suits feature several hard points, which function as mounting ports for a wide variety of heavy tau weapons. These can be altered and adapted to meet the needs of a coming battle. So, for example, if the tau were to face off against a horde of light infantry, then the XV-8 may be equipped with rapidly firing burst cannons or large flamers, making them utterly devastating at a close range. Alternatively, when confronted by an army which contains a high proportion of heavy armor, then the suit can be deployed with missile pods and potent fusion blasters, being more than capable of piercing through even the most formidable of enemy defenses. In addition to its weaponry, the Crisis suit boasts a powerful jump pack, which grants the pilot with an unparalleled level of mobility when on a battlefield. This seamlessly aligns with the Tau's strategy for maintaining an adaptive and elastic battlefront, since the battlesuit can swiftly reposition itself to be wherever the Tau need them most. The pilots understand that for their suits to be effective, that they need to be able to quickly respond to the ever-changing tides of war, so they will engage their jump packs only to soar through the air, where they will rain death and destruction down upon their enemies. The Tau military strategies involve a huge degree of coordination between different units and forces. However, they are not only limited to those who would fight on the solid ground. The nimble and daring pilots of the aircast will ever support their land-dwelling cousins in their cadres, and they will efficiently rule over the skies for the duration of a battle. Achieving complete air superiority is a vital objective for their pilots, as it allows the ground-based forces to more effectively advance through a war zone without the threat of an enemy attacking them from within the clouds. In addition to aiding their Tau brethren, wrangling control of the skies allows the aircast fighters to more easily execute plans of strategic bombardments and sorties against their enemies' command centers. Despite being a relatively young species, the pilots are incredibly skillful in the art of flight, thanks to their spectacular training programs. Their biology is also far more adapted towards flight when compared to pilots of other species. Their bodies are capable of effectively withstanding incredibly high G-forces to no ill effect, and so they can push themselves further to perform ever more hair-raising and death-defying maneuvers during their dogfights. Another key aspect of their military actions will be the integration and utilization of alien auxiliary forces. These troops are made up of the client species of the Tau Empire, such as the Kroot or the Vespid. Each of these species possesses unique skills and specific attributes, which are always harnessed to their fullest potential upon a battlefield. For example, the Kroot, who are incredibly vicious creatures, will be deployed in light armor, with brutal melee weapons closer to the front lines. This allows them to remain highly agile and mobile, and they will hop and bound across a battlefield to fall upon any encroaching forces with a horrifically devastating efficiency. The Tau Empire values the lives of every citizen, regardless of their species, so these auxiliaries will never be wasted in a careless operation. Every single individual contributes themselves and their efforts towards the betterment of their society, and so the Tau will gladly fight side by side with their alien compatriots. Not only do the various auxiliaries fill in some of the gaps of the Tau military capabilities, but they also foster an inspiring sense of unity and cooperation between the soldiers, who will happily joke and share tales of glory with each other once a battle has been won. Now we shall investigate the organizational composition of the Tau military forces. At the most basic level, the Tau will deploy what is known as a cadre, known as a cowee in their lexicon. This represents a meticulously formulated combined arms group, which has been tailored and constructed to meet the specific requirements of an impending battle. Whilst there are hundreds of specific specialized cadres, I shall cover one of the more commonly encountered configurations, which has been termed as a hunter cadre. This formidable detachment will consist of an adept command team, most often clad in XV-8 suits, which will be supported by several teams of fire warriors, auxiliary troops, a mobile pathfinder team, a sniper drone operator, an XV-88 broadside battery, and an XV-8 crisis suit team. These forces are further bolstered by a group of light piranha skimmers and a mighty hammerhead gunship. The inherent beauty of the hunter cadre lies in its adaptability towards being able to face off against most enemy engagement forces, regardless of their composition. It excels in both defending vital strategic positions as well as swiftly advancing to capture enemy territories. Each member of a cadre understands their position within the broader context of the Tau military strategy, so they are each prepared to seamlessly change their roles or equipment during a battle. This helps to further bolster the highly flexible potential of their group and allows them to better respond to evolving battlefield dynamics. Next, we have the contingents, or TOV, which comprise of several cadres who have been deployed together to fulfill a specific purpose, such as by countering a formidable enemy force or by capturing a key strategic location. Forces of this size are always led by an ethereal who will join the Tau on a battlefield along with a team of veteran bodyguards who will readily lay down their lives to protect their guiding leader. The ethereal takes on a crucial role of strategizing and directing the contingent throughout the battle. Their mere presence will oftentimes inspire the Firecast warriors into fighting with increased fervor, all for the glory of the greater good. It is important to note that these formations are not permanent fixtures. Each one is to be assembled and deployed to complete a specific objective, and once these have been completed, they will be rapidly reconfigured and reformed into a new grouping to undertake subsequent missions. Beyond the contingent level, there exists a higher organizational structure known as a commune or caval. This is a collective assembly of multiple contingents, which have been brought together to cover an extensive area of battle in order to respond to a growing threat. These large formations become utterly necessary when the Tau encounter truly colossal dangers, such as by facing off against a gargantuan enemy invasion force, or in scenarios where a battlefield has swelled in size to reach apocalyptic levels of destruction, which will require a grander strategy to win. This formation has become ever more common for the Tau, since their galactic ambitions routinely bring them at odds with increasingly large enemy armies. For example, during the Damocles Gulf campaign, the Tau were forced to combine their contingents into communes, as the smaller organizational units were continuously proving to be inadequate against the monumental scale of the Imperial Crusaders. Each of these organizational formations will fall under the leadership of the Firecast Command, known as the Uarsho, which will direct the entire military operation upon a planet. This will be led by a specially assigned ethereal group, who will oversee the entire strategic plan, and they will determine the best course of action to be taken in order to ensure a Tau victory. The final operational command structure would be a coalition, which is an incredibly widespread grouping of the Firecast command units from several septs, who have come together to enact vast, ambitious campaigns, such as for an entire expansion sphere program. A central component of the Tau military strategy is that they will meticulously plan out any potential conflict and that they will never commit themselves to a battle in which there are too many unknown factors. The commanders aspire towards a scenario where they can anticipate any potential shifts or changes to the tides of battle, allowing their forces to best respond and eliminate any emergent threats. This careful planning allows their troops to seamlessly coordinate with each other, both to improve their tactical flexibility as well as to minimize any potential Tau casualties. With a battle being carefully planned, their primary goal will always be the swift and rapid destruction of their enemies. They almost always seek to fight on the offensive, where they will strike at weak enemy positions before quickly advancing forward to claim the territory. As a part of this strategy, the Tau will broadly split their military tactics into two doctrines: Mont Ka, the killing blow, and Kao Yon, the patient hunter. These doctrines form the foundation of their military tactics, guiding their actions and decisions on the battlefield. Mont Ka is the most aggressive style of Tau combat, and it is based upon the theory that if they have meticulously planned out the potential occurrences and shifts of a battle and determined the most vulnerable enemy areas, that they should then utilize their knowledge to quickly strike with surgical precision to eviscerate their foes, and that the rest of the enemy army will be quick to crumble after. Once scouting units have identified the vital areas of an enemy army, such as their command centers or undermanned defensive lines, then the Tau will decisively strike and prioritize these targets with the utmost urgency. Their attacks are always designed to bring an overwhelming application of force, which the enemy will have no chance of appropriately defending against. Now, with that being said, if an attack fails due to the enemy being more heavily fortified, or if they have simply repositioned their strategic center to another location, then the Mont Ka force will retreat to reform their plan and strike again at a more opportune time. This is an important aspect of the Mont Ka strategy, as the Tau will never attack unless the time is right. A cadre may stand ready for days or weeks until the commander orders the attack, as they wish to ensure that the enemy will be utterly unprepared for the sheer level of destruction to be unleashed upon them. The second doctrine would be Kao Yon, or the patient hunter. This concept is rooted in the ancient Tau methods of hunting their prey. Instead of waiting for an opportune time to strike, they will employ a strategy of luring out their foes into a position where they can then swiftly and decisively strike from an ambush, catching their foes unaware to the danger that was targeting them. In practice, a Kao Yon force will deploy multiple cadres in concealed positions before sending out a small scouting force towards the enemy positions. Once engaged, the scouts will retreat, drawing out the enemy forces into the open. It is at this moment that the bulk of the cadre will strike. They will burst from cover to ruthlessly devastate the unsuspecting foe before rapidly advancing to capture their defensive position. The strategic adherence to the Kao Yon doctrine will plan out each engagement with a great level of foresight towards their enemies. The commanders must possess a deep understanding of the enemy battle tactics, enabling them to accurately anticipate their movements, which will be exploited to a devastating effect. Some commanders will specialize in their knowledge of specific alien species battle plans. So, for example, one leader may be an expert at understanding orc movements, whilst another may be knowledgeable in the fundamentals of the Codex Astartes, which they will effectively utilize to lure their opponents into the trap of the patient hunter. The Tau have continuously proven themselves to be experts in the art of war, and their rapid expansion throughout the stars has surely been achieved through the dynamic might of the Fire Caste. Their mastery of combat doctrines and battle tactics, combined with their highly adaptive forces, has allowed them to outmaneuver and outwit many of their adversaries. with their mighty warriors and highly adaptive forces, it is no wonder that they have achieved such great success in their conquests, and we can only speculate as to just how far their armies will take them. As the Tao continue to expand their influence, their commitment to the greater good drives them forward. Their highly organized society, advanced technology, and strategic brilliance make them a formidable force to contend with. The future of the Tao Empire's conquests remains uncertain, but one thing is sure: their actions will always be guided by the principles of unity, progress, and of the pursuit of a better future for all under the banner of the greater good.